One night, though, I remember it was raining so hard and felt like about 50 degrees in this jungle. I was, of course, naked, hugging my knees and sitting on the raw earth with hermit crabs, worms, snakes, and other critters crawling about. Above me, the rain was trickling through the banana leaf-laid hut. The hut, that was about 4 feet wide by 4 feet long, was just enough space to fit four grown, naked adult strangers. I was at my lowest point. I knew that enough was enough. Welcome to the Delka Podcast, where we share information on health, wellness, business, travel, and everything in between. I'm your host, Cassandra DePeckel, and today we're going to be diving into some thought-provoking discussions around building a business. Let's dive in. Is turning your passion into a career the right thing to do? Should you have a business partner? Does it really need to be that expensive and time-consuming to launch a business? All of this and more in today's episode, Starting a Business. Throughout my childhood, I remember my parents telling us to, quote-unquote, follow our passions when pursuing a career, whenever we'd asked, what should I do for a job when I'm older? From that point forward, I decided to live my life in search of finding out what my passion was, and when I did, really honing in on it. I come from an entrepreneurial household where both of my parents pursued their own businesses, and while I experienced the freedom they had to raise my brother and I in a way they wanted to, aka being there for us, I also witnessed both the feast and famine lifestyle that many business owners are well aware of. When we had money, we were all feeling good, able to buy groceries, make nice meals, move into a nicer house. But when we didn't have money, we were really struggling. Electricity off, moving houses, eating bagged beans over a fire. My mom was a life coach and my dad a land developer. I looked up to them for their perseverance, stamina, and alternative ways to make a living other than pursuing the traditional 9-to-5. There's absolutely nothing wrong with a 9-to-5, by the way. I'm a firm believer in people doing whatever it is that brings them happiness, fulfillment, and joy. And I have many of friends who prefer the 9-to-5. Stable income, the opportunity to make a greater income, less stress and angst about financially supporting their families or their lifestyle. I get it. I guess growing up, I just love seeing the freedom that my parents had with the careers they'd built for themselves. My mom was always able to hang out with us and raise us, and we loved that. My dad had a little less flexibility, but still, we could hang out with him on the site, in his office, or whenever he was working from home. As I got older and started honing into the evolution of an entrepreneurial career myself, I found it both exciting and daunting trying to figure out what it was my passions were, let alone how to turn those passions into a career. At one phase, I was convinced I was going to be a storm chaser, a meteorologist. In college, I studied meteorology, oceanography, geology, and so on, but ended up failing them all. Math and science weren't my strong suit. I thought about communications and being a news broadcaster, but believe it or not, communications wasn't my thing either. For the greater part of my adult life, I had no idea what it was that I was passionate about or what I wanted to do for a career. I talked about this in last week's episode. I dove into the various jobs I held from the age of 13 or so on. Well, one of those jobs was a B2B salesperson for what I didn't realize then was a pyramid scheme company. I was getting spat at in the face by business owners and kicked around. It was tough, and I was hardly making much money from it anyways. At 23, I thought, this is not what I was meant to do with my life. Watching my roommate's TV one day, I came across this show where these Americans were running naked in the jungle trying to survive. I thought it so baffling that I just knew right then and there that I had to take a chance. I'd had some experience in survival from being homeschooled as a kid, making fires, building shelters, outdoors, etc., and also some experience studying wilderness studies in college, but I by no means was a quote-unquote survivalist. To my surprise, they casted me, and off I went to the middle of the Panamanian jungle to survive for 3 weeks with no food or water and with not just one naked stranger, but three of them. I got a horrible edit, and at 24, had realized a lot of things about myself. I came to terms with my depression and anxiety and was able to admit it, finally. And I also realized that I was the type of person who worked better alone rather than with others. When it came to a career, I knew I had to build something solo because I'd probably struggle with the dynamics of working with a partner or a team. It's more the chaos of trying to make sure everyone is happy with my work that gives me the most anxiety when it comes to working with others. But in close second is probably the uneasy feeling I get when there's a lack of basic decency and respect for others that surround us in a workplace environment, to the point of, it's my way or the highway, without deeply considering others and the repercussions an emotional decision can make on a business endeavor, or in this case, a survival experience. It wasn't until I'd signed up to be on a reality TV show called Naked and Afraid on the Discovery Channel that I decided, A, I needed to build my own business, B, I need to go at it solo, and C, it needs to have something to do with travel. Up until the age of 24, I'd backpacked to 24 or so countries solo, built a non-successful business in sustainable hospitality consulting, and knew that I loved travel, nature, and fitness, having raced tons of triathlons and Ironman races at that point. Well, I tried building a career in nature, cue storm chaser and sustainability consulting, and that didn't work. Which, flash forward to now, I'm glad it didn't, because nature is such a strong form of therapy for me. And had I done so, I might have become sick of it. When I was 29, I built a career in fitness with a specific focus on triathlon. I attempted a world record for the most Ironman 70.3 races completed in each country and the most Ironman 70.3 races completed in a year, I think it was. An Ironman 70.3 involves a 1.2-mile swim, 56-mile bike ride, and a half marathon, or 13.1 miles, all consecutively. The cutoff time is 8 or so hours. I ended up racing 5 half Ironmans across 5 continents in like a month. Yeah, I was racing like every weekend. And not to get sidetracked, but I'd already raced a full Ironman prior to this, 140.6 miles of swimming, biking, and running, and had finished just minutes before the 17-hour cutoff time. So I knew what was involved in this. Ironically, I found that racing a half Ironman every weekend actually sped up my time and endurance, as opposed to making me more worn. But like I had talked about in last week's episode, my pains caught up to me. Not only that, in attempting to build a career in triathlon, I became exposed to the dark side of the industry. There's a dark side to every industry. There's, of course, what you see on the surface, but once you're in it, you see the dynamics of it all. Competition, envy, etc. Attempting to turn triathlon into a career made me sour towards a sport that gave me so much joy, happiness, community, and a profoundly healthy and beautiful escape from life's trials and tribulations. Turning my fitness passion into a career proved to make me dislike the sport. Example number one. Lastly came travel. Like I said, I traveled quite a bit before my appearance on Naked and Afraid. One night though, I remember it was raining hard and felt like about 50 degrees in this jungle. I was of course naked, hugging my knees, and sitting on the raw earth with hermit crabs, worms, snakes, and other critters crawling about. Above me, the rain was trickling through the banana leaf laid hut. The hut, about 4 foot wide by 4 foot long, was just enough space to fit 4 grown, naked adult strangers. I was at my lowest point. I knew that enough was enough. Enough babysitting just to get by. Enough working pyramid scheme jobs. Enough going on reality TV shows to find myself. I was worth more than this life I was pursuing. I decided to be that entrepreneur that my parents were and build my lifelong dream in travel by doing something drastic. That drastic thing was to travel every country in the world. When we come back, in just a moment, how following our passion can make us despise the one thing we used to find joy in, and finding the inner strength to work through it to get to the other side. Stay with us. I'm Cassandra DePeckel, and you're listening to the Delka Podcast. Dying to get your business up and running, but don't know where to begin? Are you sick of the extensive fees it'll take for web development, PR, marketing campaigns, and hiring people to help you get there? Maybe you need Elevated. Elevated is a full-service brand agency that will get your business up and running fast and at a low cost without sacrificing the quality and efficiency of your business. Visit elevated.com. That's ELEVATXD.com and get a free website and business roadmap when you sign up for one of our monthly plans. Don't worry, we've got you covered with up to 50 brand development services, including branding, design, marketing, social media management, content creation, web development, strategy consulting, financial and sponsorship decks, and so much more. Get your business launched fast without sacrificing quality or breaking the bank. Visit elevated.com. Again, that's ELEVATXD.com and claim your free website and business roadmap. Again, that's ELEVATXD.com. Elevate your business with Elevated. So I did it. I traveled to every single country in the world. Not only that, I built a business which snowballed into something really beautiful and relatively successful. I became an author, keynote speaker, brand ambassador, podcast host, among many other things. I was very proud of myself that I did it. I built a name and a career for myself through travel. Sure, it wasn't necessarily the dream of hosting my own show on the Travel Channel, like my idol whose career I looked up to in high school, Samantha Brown, but I built something on par. I was able to keep to myself and do my own thing, working solo and building my introspective and spiritual self in the process. When you don't work with others and when you travel solo, you have a lot of time to focus on facing your inner demons, as well as building strength and resilience. You go through all of these thoughts and experiences alone, and you need to figure out how to grow and do it yourself. I've always been quite introverted. In high school, not so much though, but once I turned 18, something changed, and I reverted to my inner self to overcome and recharge as opposed to relying on others for support. I stayed away from clubs, cliques, groups, and social things as much as I could. I felt like those things were a distraction from finding out about my true self, what it is I have to offer to the world, and how to find ultimate fulfillment and happiness. I would get clatterbrained if I was focusing the majority of my time on conversing with others. I didn't want to be swayed on the opinions of others on what was right or wrong. I didn't want people to carve my path. I wanted to do that myself. As a result, I stayed off social media, with the exception of posting whatever it was I needed to. I didn't own a TV or watch any shows, movies, or Netflix throughout my 20s. Though there were many travel groups that I could have joined or been a part of, I opted against it because, again, I never felt comfortable being part of a clique. I enjoyed learning from the world around me, from people who had different paths, different careers, different passions. I didn't want to converge with people who shared the same passions as me because I wanted to expand my consciousness and educate myself as much as possible within other realms. I had my travel career, and I, just like the career in fitness I'd built, I saw not just the dark side, but hell. Eventually, I wanted nothing to do with travel. I saw the dark side of the travel influencer community. I was being judged within these cliques and groups by not being members of them. I think a lot of the times people tend to rely on others for their own happiness and status. Feeling part of a clique gives them meaning, which is totally fine, by the way. Whatever floats one's boat. In this case, though, my not wanting to be a part of these travel clubs felt a bit like high school in that people talked about me. I was doing something different, and they didn't like it. I didn't care, though, what people thought of me, which I attribute to building so much inner strength over the years from being in my solitude. I do want to mention, though, that there are many clubs that I did enjoy being a part of, like Skull International, Rotary, clubs that existed for the betterment of people, helped people, and only bestowed kindness and non-judgment. But learning of all that negativity within the travel community and the ugly judgment within these travel clubs only made me revert deeper into my solitude, which I actually enjoyed. Living life introspectively and turning inward for happiness, embracing and feeling your own emotions and dealing with them, learning from them on more of an inward scale, is actually peaceful to me. The beauty of it too is I don't have to feel regret when I spew all of my emotions onto others, which I later move on from myself, but realize maybe they haven't. Don't get me wrong, I have a very strong and supportive friend group as well as family who will listen and not judge me. But the less I can bring them down with my ailments, and the more I can just work through them myself with the help of nature therapy, the better for everyone. All of this goes without saying that I burned through my travel passion by turning it into a career. I can't stand travel anymore. From the car ride to the airport, where I tend to nearly always get car sick, to the checking a bag and paying astronomical fees, to security checkpoints and needing to rush through, getting yelled at, and have them rummage through my neatly packed bag only to dispose of a simple hair tie, to waiting for hours with no fresh air through delays and sitting on a cramped plane, getting the flu over a guy coughing next to me the whole flight, the 2 a.m. lines at border control, going through more security and men giving power trips, detaining me just because, and finally fetching a bus or another queasy ride to a hotel where I can finally breathe again. I can't do it anymore. Don't get me wrong, I'm so grateful to have had the opportunity to travel and to turn travel into a career, but turning my passion of travel into a career where I only traveled made it sour. I love when I get to a destination, but, well, you have to actually get there. Is turning your passion into a career something you really want to do? While turning my passions into a career didn't necessarily work for me, it's worked for many others. Some of my best friends turn their passion into a career and they love it. If you're in the boat of trying to decide if you should, whether you're fresh out of high school or college, or whether you're facing a career shift later in life, I'd encourage you to do your research. Think long and hard about the pros and cons of doing so. Maybe you didn't turn your passion into your career in your 20s and 30s, but now, with a change of career, you're wanting to try it out and see what it's like. Maybe you turned your passion into a hobby, and that's good enough for you. The good thing is that you might love what you do forever if you build your passion into a career. The bad is that you might end up despising the one thing that always brought you joy. I'll tell you, for years, I've been an avid listener of Wondery's How I Built This podcast with Guy Raz, where he interviews the world's best known entrepreneurs to learn how they built their iconic brands. If you're into success stories of founders who have really gone through the ringer to build wildly successful businesses, you should check it out. Not an ad, by the way. But the other day, I was listening to Parachute Home with founder Ariel Kay. I love Parachute Home. It's definitely one of my favorite home brands, from their sheets to towels to slippers and robes, love. Anyways, hence the reason I was drawn to this particular episode. Listening to her incredible story of building this business valued today in the millions, I was drawn to a particular point of the episode where she'd mentioned a $40,000 mistake she'd made. At the time of launching, she had raised some capital but was struggling and needed to build a website that could handle the capacity of sales that were about to come in. So she hired a design firm to build a sophisticated CMS program. Just for context, CMS stands for Content Management System, and it's used to manage content and allow for multiple contributors to create, edit, and publish a website. WordPress.org is a great example of this and is actually the platform I learned web development on in my late teen years, which I'm actually so grateful for because it's allowed me the flexibility to build everything from e-commerce to blogs to nonprofit to business websites. The customization options are insane, and since it's a CMS platform, you can hire editors to work on it if you get stuck somewhere. Anyways, she was told that she needed to build a custom platform, hired this design firm, and spent $40,000 on a custom CMS website, only for her to just revert to using Shopify. Why was this? Well, like many people who have this type of setup, whenever she needed something to be edited on the website, because of how complicated a custom CMS site can be, she wasn't able to edit herself, and she was at the mercy of these developers to do it for her. The problem is that it can take weeks for them to make even just a single edit. A lot of the times, they'll code up edits, which can take a while. Not to mention, they're usually working on dozens of other client websites at the same time. Unfortunately, many of us business owners have experienced the headache of working with a web development or design firm when it comes to a startup needing to get things done fast and efficiently. Needless to say, Ariel was out 40K and ended up just reverting to a simple, user-friendly platform to get it done. Shopify. Can you believe that? I'm assuming, though, down the line, she did need to rebuild with a custom CMS platform to keep up with the demand. A lesson from this is to make sure you work with the right people from the get-go when building your brand. She'd also mentioned the thousands of dollars she'd spent using a PR firm. She did say that this is worth it, but in my opinion, that can also be another scam, to be completely honest. I've worked with PR firms that charge anywhere from $3,000 to $6,000 a month. One of the firms I worked with in the past for something so important as a book launch didn't even secure one interview. In that month, though, I'd secured interviews on my own accord. It can be a waste of money, especially in the beginning stages of launching a business when funds are tight. When I did my trip around the world, I didn't pay a PR firm to promote my travels. I didn't spend anything. I was able to secure interviews with Forbes, CNN, The Today Show, Time, so on and so forth. It was actually at that time that I realized I knew how to do this on my own. Just be careful where you are putting your funds when you're starting a new business. When we come back, deciding whether having a business partner is the right decision for you and your business. You're listening to the Delka Podcast. I'm Cassandra DePeckel. One of the greatest lessons I've learned after wasting money with design firms, PR agencies, marketing agencies, etc., was that they too are just trying to make a living. And since many new business owners are new at it, they'll use you as the perfect opportunity to reel you in to whatever service they think you need. The truth is, you don't need it. You can do it yourself. But if you are stuck, it helps to have a company that's on your side. At Elevated, our team has experienced launching businesses firsthand, and we get the lack of funds and time to get things off the ground, which is why we're here to help you. Fast turnaround services that don't break the bank nor sacrifice quality or efficiency of your business. Visit elevated.com, that's ELEVATXD.com, and get a free website and business roadmap when you sign up for one of our monthly plans. Don't worry, we've got you covered with up to 50 brand development services, including branding, design, marketing, social media management, content creation, web development, strategy consulting, financial and sponsorship decks, and so much more. Get your business launched fast, cheap, and without sacrificing luxury. Visit elevated.com. Again, that's ELEVATXD.com, and claim your free website and business roadmap. Again, that's ELEVATXD.com. Elevate your business with Elevated. Starting a new business can be hard, exciting, and nerve-wracking. Most people struggle to go at it solo. There are founders who became successful as a solo founder, myself included, but what if you aren't someone who can, quote-unquote, do it all? Maybe you'd benefit more from working 50-50 with a business partner on your new venture. Well, since I like to try everything once in life, and speaking from experience, let me give you guys a little advice on having a business partner. So you have a great idea. You want to scream it from the rooftops. You're so excited. You want people to get involved, but you're nervous that if word gets out, someone might steal your idea. Maybe though, you're not nervous about that. And if that's the case, I envy your trust in humanity. Before you go telling everyone and getting everyone involved, it'd be wise to go over every scenario. Most often, you'll probably hear from founders that it's a good idea to keep things to yourself until you've got things trademarked, the business formulated, and especially all socials and domains secured before you tell anyone. Plus, maybe you want others to see how serious you are about this venture, and if you've got a website and a brand to show them, that makes things all the more real. Okay, back to the business partner thing. Is it right for you? My advice is, if you do want to go that route, make sure you're not doing so with a friend or family member. This is business after all, and if things go south, which they oftentimes do, you'll want to be able to walk away unscathed. Sometimes though, a business partner breakup, so to speak, can be messy, and if this is the case, you'll be glad it wasn't with a friend or family member. These would be my tips though, if you do want to go into business with someone. Make sure you're both solid on the future of the business and that both of your expectations align for 5 and 10 years down the line. If your vision for the business is not 110% aligned, you won't make it. My former business partner wanted to do things really fast, but I wanted to take our time getting there to do things right. It's okay that they wanted to do things fast, and it's okay that I wanted to go slow and steady. The problem was that our vision for the business didn't align. They were seeing short term, I was seeing long term. In the beginning, we seemed to be on the right page, but as time went on, something changed. It's so important to have an operating agreement in place from the moment you decide to go into business together and to fully align on every aspect of the agreement. Make sure you're covering every single detail. However, even when you do this, you can't make up for the fact that we're all human and our idealisms, perspectives, and goals can change. However, if this even happens, say that your partner wants to get things done fast and you want to go slow, you need to make sure you have a business timeline in place for 10 years down the road. I mean, that seems extreme, but so that you can both refer to the business timeline that you had set in the agreement, which brings you both back to the reality of things. Again, it's tough to find the right partner, but making sure you both align on the vision is so important. And if there are differences in something so big as how you'll run the wheelhouse effectively, then maybe it's time to call it before things go sour and money from sales, for example, are involved. Know your strengths. Do you really even need a business partner? Maybe they're the financial driving force behind the venture, which fills the only gap you need. You'd rather have a partner who can invest financially than have to secure that funding on your own. The problem with that is they might have a greater stake in the business than you'd anticipated. Are you okay with that? A great podcast my founder friend recommended to me is called Startup Therapy by Will Schroeder and Ryan Rutan. Not only do Will and Ryan talk about business partners, but they talk about everything startup. Think hard whenever you want a business partner. It could really be an incredible step forward. You two could work off each other's strengths and become a real powerhouse. Or on the other end of the spectrum, you could totally miss the mark of being on the same page and not only lose the business, but your investments as well. I do have to say though, never put one another down in any way, shape, or form. Just walk away before it gets to that point. You have to think of it like a marriage because the dynamics are really so similar. It's you two against the world. Not you two against each other. When negative or degrading things are said about one another, you begin to lose trust in that person, and you need trust for any partnership to work. This leads me to the next topic, connecting with the right people for your business. You might, like me, be an introvert where social situations can be daunting. The bad news is you will have to get over this, or rather learn how to work through it if you want to build a successful business. You'll always be dealing with people. And you will need the knowledge and expertise of others at one point or another. My advice is to make these people your friends, because as you grow older, you'll find that most people's lives revolve around their work, second or first to their family, depending who you're speaking to. If you can connect with people who not only assist with your business endeavors, but can also serve as a friend, then that's a win-win. Not all, but most of my friends in this season of my life are ones I can learn from and collaborate with in business. They're entrepreneurs and founders who get it. When we get together for a catch-up, we of course talk about the normal things, family, happenings in our lives, relationships, but we also talk business. We're there to help one another in times of need, feed off of each other, and provide, at the very least, some sound advice based on experience. Where do you find these people? Here are some examples. One of my good friends is an author, and I'd reached out to him one day via email in hopes of connecting. I ended up attending one of his summits, and the rest is history. We've been friends now for a decade and have helped each other in various ways over the years. Another good friend I'd also approached via social media on a collab of sorts years ago. She remains a good friend to this day, and we're always talking business. The point is, establish the types of people you want to befriend. Perhaps there are certain people you look up to or you think you'd really jive with. And simply put, reach out to them. Worst case is they won't respond, but best case is that they will, and you guys will be close for years. If reaching out though isn't your thing, then put yourself in places where those types of people exist. Some good examples are Soho House events, hotels, or become a member of a hotel like the Four Seasons. You'll find quite a lot of people travel and business there. BNI Connect is another one, Rotary, or dare I say Delca? When we come back, overcoming and building new passions. This and more after the break. You're listening to the Delca Podcast. I'm Cassandra DePeckel. Finding the right women to connect with to not only grow your business doesn't have to be a burden. We make it easy through Delca. Delca is a premier lifestyle brand catering exclusively to women. With a focus on elevating every aspect of our members' lives, we offer elite memberships, advice through our weekly newsletter and blog, transformative retreats, an elegant online boutique, and exclusive member privileges. Whether you're seeking personalized guidance, connection with other like-minded women, or unforgettable experiences, Delca is here to help you unlock your full potential and live your best life. Visit DelcaLife.com. That's DelcaLife Mentorship.com to elevate and expand your connections for both business and friendship. Mention that you heard about us on this podcast and receive a 5% discount on our boutique items and priority application review for our Delca membership. The Delca experience, it's a lifestyle. This goes without saying, but remember that before business, friendships, and giving to anyone or anything else, above all else, you have to protect your peace. By peace, I mean mental mindset, physical health, and overall happiness. This is your life made just for you as an individual. Everything else is secondary. If you're not keeping yourself afloat, then who is? Prioritize your mental and physical well-being, even if that means letting go of the people who don't serve you, who don't serve your vision, your idealisms, your peace. By letting go, you make way for the new, which leads us to our last topic, procrastination and creativity. Let it come and go as it may. There have been so many times in my life where I've felt pressured to achieve and succeed, but at the same time, well, at the tip of my tongue, I had no idea what it was that I needed to achieve. After my world travels, I wasn't loving my career. Well, I was most definitely grateful for it. Like I said earlier in the episode, I did not enjoy the dark side of the travel industry. Being sued and being the punching bag for many angry travelers within my industry was taking its toll. Besides that, though, I knew I was meant to do more, to offer some sort of product or service, but I didn't yet know exactly what that product or service was. For years, since 2019, through the downfall of the global pandemic in 2020 and 2021, to getting sued in 2022, I was so down and uninspired. Deep down, I knew though that with time, I would fall upon the idea that was always sitting there in the back of my head. I became frustrated though, because year after year, I felt as though I was sinking. I hadn't had much of a creative flow that I was used to since writing my book, or really since 2018. It was daunting and humbling at the same time to have zero ambition, motivation, inspiration, perseverance, or drive. All of the things that most people would say that I definitely had. I definitely didn't. Not even a will, if I'm being honest. One morning though, I woke up and knew right then and there that it was Delca. I spent the following month working 20-hour days building Delca from the business to the website, socials, podcasts, etc. Now, when I look at Delca, I'm proud. I see and feel fulfillment, something I've never felt before with my career I'd had for 15 years. It's like I'd finally seen the light. My point of all this is don't force it. Don't force yourself to become inspired. Let procrastination take hold. Take the time, and when it feels right, everything will flow as it's meant to. When you're an artist or entrepreneur, you're a creative. Nothing in the world will force you to project your best work. Only you can do that, and only in good time. Give yourself that space. The best is yet to come. And when it does, you'll have your best work launched in a heartbeat. Thank you so much for listening. If you have a topic you'd like me to speak on, a person who you think I should interview on the show, or if you have a story you'd like me to share, feel free to email us at hello@delcalife.com. That's hello@delcalife.com. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok @DelcaLife. Until next time.